There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, I like taking a shot. To go for it. You know, steal the game. And I think I had him. I had him. And whether or not KB stayed up or not affects that safety. I still had eyes on him and saw him. And I think once he fell, he made it drift towards the middle of the field more, but. At the same time, I think I had a chance at booty and got to step into it more.
High noon here on WEEI. Jones and Keefe with you on a Tuesday. Some would say the biggest day in our country's history. We're talking, of course, about NFL trade deadline day.
Whew, 4 o'clock today.
Already three deals have gone down. They all happened before we got on the air. That's a little annoying.
I know. We do have our sounder ready to go, though. So if a trade happens, no matter how big or small.
We should play that for the people again, just as a reminder.
Yes.
Just to kind of give that to them. We can do that, though, after our next guest. Here again on a very, very, very busy day out there. It's
Slammed.
A Tom E. Tuesday. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Subs, New England Sandwich Shop, and the Sandwich Shop for Jones and Keefe here on Tuesdays.
Yep, delicious.
I'm working on that chicken teriyaki sub right now. It's great. Flex Car, you can save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
What's up, boys?
What's
How
up?
Are you? Happy Tuesday.
Very good, yes.
Very, very happy Tuesday. Big day out there. NFL trade deadline day. We'll start with this. You hearing anything on the Pats and the deadline? Anything, huh?
Nothing yet. I do believe that they are active in trying to move players, and teams are active, actually more active in reaching out to them. And I know that, speaking to some agents, that they are very curious as to what might end up happening with their clients, especially at the wide receiver position today. So that's something that would probably be the most likely spot, either a KJ Osborne or a Tyquan Thornton deal. If either one comes to fruition, I think that would be the most likely one to happen.
Yeah, the one that I'm the most surprised that is even out there in discussion is Kyle Duggar. Like, they just brought him back. You know, he's one of their better players. I know he's also dealing with, I think, an ankle injury, but he didn't play and he was inactive last week, which maybe raised some antenna up a little bit. But what do you think it would mean if they were to trade someone like Kyle Duggar?
Our guy Phil Perry at NBC Sports Boston was able to ferret out some more information a little bit closer to the scene here. That's not happening. And
okay.
I believe it was phrased to him, we got to use some common sense on these things. They're not moving on from Kyle Duggar. And why would you? I mean, you just lost Jabril Peppers. He might never play here again. You had two really good safeties. Now you have one. And he is, you need the backbone of your defense. I think it's insane to think that. And honestly, as appetizing as a Kendrick Bourne or Devon Godshaw might be for other teams, I think right now they are somewhat by default some of your culture leaders on the team, with David Andrews out, Juwan Bentley out, and so many players who were persuasive and influential in that locker room laid low. I wouldn't move on from either of those guys because of what they bring for you down what could be a very discouraging stretch of 8 games.
Mm-hmm. Tom, we did a show poll earlier today at Jones and Keefe. 72% of Patriots fans want them to sell at the deadline. 28% want them to buy. Is there a chance they're adding today and not just subtracting off of the roster? And if so, where? Where would they be looking to add?
You'd be looking to add a player with some term left on his deal. You'd be looking to add at any of these positions: cornerback, edge defender, tackle, or wide receiver. Any of those four. Those, to me, look like their biggest areas of need, with edge defender and cornerback coming up quickly on the outside. I would even say safety, but they, you know, it's a little further down because you have, you know, the rotation of Duggar, Mapu, Jalen Hawkins, who hasn't been a disaster, and actually I think Del Pettis isn't a disaster either, as a guy who was undrafted, who they added. So, but I'd say those other positions, definitely. You got to find somebody with some term who might be blocked out where he is and feel as if you would have an opportunity to re-sign him, even if he had an expiring contract. But you need, I think, and I've said this a couple times, I think I've said it to you guys, they need professional football players, mm-hmm. people who go about their jobs professionally right now, because I think that that's very important to the level of emotional maturity on the team.
Now, a big topic of conversation yesterday, as you can imagine, was whether or not the Patriots should have gone for two at the end of regulation. Both Jones and I think they should have gone for two. Where do you come down on that?
1,000,000% should have gone for two. Yeah. You're a 2-6 team trying to avoid 2-7. You get one shot from the 2.5 or 3, wherever the hell they put it now, and you have a quarterback who's half a magician. I know he was tuckered. I know he was gassed, mm-hmm. but so was the Tennessee defense, who had to chase for 12 seconds. I really think that they should have gone for it, because to me, you can't stop people on the ground right now.
Right.
And they got it run down their throat, and the inevitable ending came the way it did. I think with a 2-6 team, would you have an opportunity to win that close? Go ahead and take it. Which loss do you think? I was going to put a poll out today. I switched my polls for Quick Slants at 6 p.m.
Yeah, nice.
I went with this poll. Did the Patriots, it's Caleb Williams and Drake May this weekend. If you needed a cornerstone player, playing hypotheticals, would you prefer Caleb Williams? Would you prefer Jaden Daniels, or did they get the right guy in May? You don't have to answer. The other poll I wanted to put out was, which is the most frustrating and maddening loss of the season, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Seattle, or Miami?
Oof. I would say I'm a recency bias guy. I would say the Tennessee game.
It feels like Tennessee right now, yeah, but that might be recency
bias. Miami was the worst football game I may have ever seen. Like, that was just a frustrating game all around. But this one was like, you were right there. Why not? You had this unbelievable play at the very end, and then why not go for two and try to win it there?
So I would say Jacksonville, they blew a 10-point lead.
Yeah, that's true. True.
Jacksonville was fairly sickening in the fact that they blew a 10-point lead and then just got run over like a JV team.
Yeah, no, that's true. Going back to the 2-point decision, to your understanding, is that Gerard Mayo's final call? Like, he is the head coach. It should be his call. But is he talking to somebody upstairs that's giving him stats and just sort of like telling him what they think, and then he just goes with that? Like, I'm curious, especially how he answered it post game versus like a different answer he gave Greg Hill on Monday morning. Like, is that his call, or is it somebody else's?
It's 1,000,000% his call.
Okay.
And this is, I think, the difficulty of having not just a first-year head coach, but first-year surrounding individuals, whether it's Evan Rothstein, you know, who's not a first-year guy, but he's kind of elevated to that Ernie Adams role, for lack of a better comp. You got a quarterbacks coach in T.C. McCartney. You have an offensive line coach in Scott Peters. You have a play caller in Alex Van Pelt. Everybody's new. What's their rooting interest? Are they gamblers? Are they safe guys? Are they in positions where they feel secure in their jobs? Do they feel like they don't want to push Gerard into a situation where he might not be comfortable? To me, Gerard said the decision was made. I think he made it sound as if the decision was made far before they had gone down the field. But I just don't love it. I didn't love the decision. You have to be malleable as the game is going on, transform and change to the flows of the game. And I think that that absolutely was opened up for the opportunity to go for two. I mean, you got a guy who just wandered around for 12 seconds. I don't care if he's tuckered out. He is the kind of player who can make something out of nothing. And I know you can't run it worth crap, but you can still have him in a run pass option. And if that goes south, he can scurry around for a minute. And, okay, so he had to throw it incomplete. Oh, he got picked off. Whatever, you lost. So what? You're 2-7. You took a shot.
Right.
So with Drake May and the pick he threw in overtime and the turnovers he had in the game, I do. I love the pick. I find the poll question that you're putting out on Quick Slants very interesting because I was bullish on Drake May coming in. I've been a believer in him. I don't want to let him off the hook, though, for a turnover that lost them the game, three turnovers in this game. And so how do we square those two things away? Well, we're watching the team down the stretch. He's the quarterback of the future. We all believe in him. But we can't let him off the hook for some of these mistakes. How do we kind of square those two away going forward with the final, whatever it is, the final eight games
of the
season?
I like that question. Yeah, I like that question because is how I squared it in the post game was, were those what the frig turnovers? Were those, what is he thinking? Were those, that's an embarrassing decision. Were those pee down your legs, Sam Darnold, Mac Jones type turnovers? Or were they somewhat understandable? So take the first one. He got suckered in his fourth start by an underneath defender who moved into a spot. I still don't think the wide receiver and tight end spacing was terrific on that. I wonder if there was supposed to be that much traffic, but he got suckered. That seems to me the kind of thing you can say, yep, that I can make sure that doesn't happen again. The strip sack, it's Justin Simmons making a fantastic play. Jay Simmons making a tremendous play. From behind, but May knew he was coming, and he was trying to get away from the situation. He gets strip sacked. Again, fixable, not panic. And then the last one, I don't mind him taking a shot. You stink. The team stinks.
I know. He's going to be so frustrated. That's what I was trying to
do. You know, it's like, yep. You guys play a little golf, right?
Sure.
You're on your way to shoot the 94.
Just blast it.
You got 220 over water on the last hole. Yeah. Whatever.
94, I'm having a good day.
94 would be great.
Yeah, that sounds like I'm hitting them well is what it sounds like.
Tom, you've been all over this with the receiving core and the draft picks specifically, Polk and Baker. You know, it's always one of those fine lines, like how early is too early to call a guy a bust versus just being right and sort of seeing it early on. I've been so frustrated with Jalen Polk because it was a second-round wide receiver, very productive guy in college, thought he'd be a good fit, and it's just been a variety of stuff he says, and then it's drops, and then it's penalties. It's like he can't get out of his own way, but that is still a guy that in the final eight games of the season I want to see out there. I want to know going into next season just how much or how little I can count on him.
Yeah, same thing with Javon Baker. I mean, he should be kind of in a tryout situation now, and I hope that this personnel department will have the same hang-and-judge mentality that Bill Belichick sometimes would. Okay, it's not working out. I don't care that I took Duke Dawson in the second round. See ya. You're done. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working here. And if you have to do that with some players, do that. Don't protect your draft picks and say, well, they just didn't have enough time. I would also say, relative to Polk, Thornton, Baker, KJ Osborne, anybody, we need to start looking up who's the wide receivers coach. His name's Tyler Hughes. Tyquan Underwood's there as well. Tyler Hughes was an assistant in Washington for a year. He was a Patriots offensive assistant for a few years. He has not really had what you would call a decorated career developing wideouts. So if he doesn't develop them this year, this changes the conversation because this notion of everybody's going to grow together and in a couple of years it'll be good, you might have to throw that to the wind because, sorry, Drake May's ready already.
Yeah.
So if you have to say everything gets upgraded now, we're not having this kumbaya where everybody moves together, urgency has to enter the equation. If you have to say goodbye to coaches who didn't sparkle in their first year and replace them with experienced ones, and I'm not trying to fire Tyler Hughes here, but your expectations for all of the coaching staff has to be higher because your window is officially open. And I believe that to be the case as of Sunday. He's ready. He's good. He's really good. So let's get after it.
Time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy Curran, what's your Flex of the Game from Patriots Titans?
Flex of the game was that first scramble by Drake May. God bless him. Comes out of the concussion protocol with feet skedaddling down the field. Didn't even slide, didn't even roll, just ran right into a tackler. God bless him. That's the kind of moxie you need. That's the kind of want to. That's the kind of brass balls you got to have.
I like it. I like it. That's a good flex. No, he's right.
It's a great flex.
It's funny. We were talking about how last week in the game he got hurt, he slid a number of times, and both Van Pelt and Mayo were like, he's got to protect himself, got to protect himself. Then the next week, he's like head first into every defender after the concussion. I feel like he took their advice less after the injury.
I think that they somehow think that going head first is safer than sliding.
I've heard Andy Hart making this point, Keith. And so,
well,
maybe,
because you're a maybe.
Yeah, but you don't have the same protections. When you start your slide, when your ass starts to slide, that's when your protections start. And he started his slide a little late the previous week because he was stumbling and couldn't really get into it and make it obvious that he was about to slide. He had a very good slide at another point in the game. If you have the room to slide, always slide feet first. If somebody might, as you're sliding, already be going, if he's within a yard or two, might as well just, you know, kind of armadillo it.
Yeah. One more quick one here, Tom, before we let you go. And thank you for spending a little extra time here today.
Why, sure.
Are you worried at all? Maybe worried is not the right word. Are you paying attention at all to Kansas City going 17-0, going undefeated? And if you're not yet, at what point do you look at it and go, okay, this is really something we need to watch?
It's funny. Somebody made the comp. I can't remember. I was on Twitter last night watching that game, and they said the Kansas City kind of has that 2019 Patriots feel to them. And I don't disagree, although the Patriots did not add DeAndre Hopkins at the deadline, who still could be here.
Right.
But I'm sure he'd be long gone by now. But he could have been here. Mm-hmm, But they do. They're very close to the bone. It's just that, you know, who are the other teams out there who are going to take them down? Do they have Buffalo on the schedule?
Two weeks from now, they're at Buffalo, I believe. They also have Houston. Later on in the year as well. Okay, so you're going against Keith. Keith says they're going undefeated. You think there's a game that could take them down?
Yep.
This is all knee-jerk. I haven't spent my time, obviously. I don't even know if they're playing Buffalo, but I think they're going to lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy Curran, you can check him out on Quick Slants. You can check out his latest. It's up now at NBC Sports Boston. Patriots in disarray with one all-important exception. I think you know who we're talking about. He joins us every Tuesday here on Tommy Tuesdays on Jones and Keith. He'll be with WEEI Afternoons on Thursday. Check him out there. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom E. Curran says the Chiefs will not be going in your face, Keith. Says they won't be going.
Damn it. Well, the odds would be in his favor. I mean, they got to rip off 9 more wins.
We looked it up earlier. It was plus 600 to go undefeated for the regular season.
They already had their bye, right? So I think they're 8-0.
Yes,
so they
got to
win 9 more games?
9 more, correct.
I think Buffalo's the only one that they might be a dog in because it's in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They should be favored in every other game. Doesn't mean they're going to win out. I just think they're, to your point earlier, like the reason why it's not the 2019 Patriots to me, who I know were 8-0, but I feel like their offense is getting better.
Yeah.
Mahomes just had a 3-touchdown game. DeAndre Hopkins, Pacheco's going to come back eventually. Travis Kelce's actually getting better, not worse, as the season's going on. So I think the offense is trending up. And it's Mahomes smack dab in his prime, too.
Instead of Brady with 1 foot out the door.
Yep.
You know, so I don't like the 2019 comp either, but he's not the first to make it. We've actually heard that quite a bit here today. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Chiefs going undefeated? Would it bother you? Do you think they're going to do it? You can jump in there on that. Meanwhile, it is trade deadline day.
Yes.
Tick, 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 tick.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The accountability is not taking place in that room. Bourne was, like, for the most part, like a pretty decent soldier before this. KJ Osborne had a great reputation in Minnesota. Jalen Polk came into the draft with incredible, like, incredible character reviews. Like, I there's something that's messed up in that room. And I think part of it's probably having a position coach who's as inexperienced as he is. It's not a good situation.
Everybody around the league said that is a volatile mix. And yeah. Tyler Hughes being inexperienced, there were a lot of questions about that room.
How about that receiver room? Something. A volatile receiver room. And Bedard, we heard Curran do this too just now. If you missed any of Tommy Curran, Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, get it on your phone, take it with you wherever you go. I know on social we posted the latest he's hearing about the trade deadline, which we'll get back into. Seek that out, Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. The whole thing, though, is you start to hear now people are complaining about Tyler Hughes, the receiver coach. It's like, oh, interesting. All of a sudden that pops up.
Yeah.
All these guys, as Breer is saying there, with pristine reputations.
Where do
KJ
you put
Osborne, Jalen Polk, et cetera. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Where do you put Tyler Hughes on your blame list?
So low, it's not even funny.
So low.
Yeah. I'd put the receivers above him.
Position coach? Like, position coaches, I'm not trying to minimize what they do, but I'm looking at head coach and coordinator and GM, and then obviously the players. It starts with the players. But, like, the GM brought those players in. The head coach is ultimately in charge of them, and the offensive coordinator is going to sort of decide where he's going to use them or not.
Okay.
The position coach helps.
So go with that. So why are we hearing his name over and over again?
Because they got to get rid of somebody.
Thank you.
They
got to
move on. They can't have a 2 or 3 win team and bring everybody back. So if you fire the position coach, and if that's all you do, like, let's just say this season plays out, and they're 3-14, and day after, it was a Black Monday in the NFL, head coaches get fired all over the place. And the Patriots announced that they're moving on from Tyler Hughes. There's not a fan here that would say, oh, okay, good.
Good move.
Problem solved. Yeah, they should be better next year.
None of us care. Like, I don't need him back, by the
Most
way.
I don't know what he is.
Exactly. Thank you. Like, until this last week, you barely even heard his name. I think we mentioned it when he got hired. Other than that, I don't know how much we even referenced his name. Why would you? So that feels like people are trying to throw other guys under the bus, save themselves. This is self-preservation on the coaching staff. And I don't know if it's coming from Mayo. I don't know if it's coming from Van Pelt. Like, maybe Van Pelt's like, oh, you think it's me? No, 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 it's the receiver coach.
It's not the receiver coach.
So that's what it feels like to me. Self-preservation. People are throwing each other under the bus
shield
to try to protect themselves. That's all it is.
Coach shield.
I've now heard that name more times in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, than I had heard it all year. There's a reason for that.
It's the way to also save Van Pelt, if you want to go that far. And part of it, to me, Kraft might want to do that just because he doesn't want to be the team in the league with 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years. And also what a debacle the offensive coordinator hiring process was from a year ago. He might not necessarily believe in Van Pelt, but he's like, oh my God, really? We're going to get another one of these guys? So let's fire the position coach first. Like, in Philadelphia, they kept Sirianni, but they got rid of both coordinators.
Right.
So I was like, all right, this is your last chance, really.
Yeah, you're on thin ice. We all see it.
They would get rid of those guys first. I still go back to how they've mismanaged the roster. You were asking the question earlier, like, how much did they kind of pork Drake May and all this? Quite a bit. But forget about just mismanaging the entire roster. The wide receiver room in particular is insane. They have 7 guys on the roster. So every week you have healthy scratch wide receivers. Now, I didn't go through every team in the league. I can't imagine that's the case. I think the Buffalo Bills, best team in the division, I believe they have 5 receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they just traded for one of them. So they have Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel. Those are the 5 guys on their roster. Patriots have 7. And you have 2 rookies, 2 second-year guys, a former second-round pick, and then 2 what we'll call veterans. None of them are that good. And so each week they're kind of like duking it out for who's even going to be active. So that pisses off some of the group. The ones that go out there aren't even, they don't throw much the first 5 weeks of the season. So then those guys are pissed off. Everybody's pissed off. They don't have much of a chance to show anything. They're not that good. Like that was the biggest takeaway. But why are you going with that many guys? You should have started the year with five.
Yeah.
Five guys.
Yeah.
Let the best man win.
Not a second guess. When we found out the roster, we're like,
what's next?
And remember, Jalen Reagor was on there too at the beginning of the year. The initial wave. We're like, what the hell?
It's too
many. Why are they keeping so many of these guys? They all stink.
It's way too many.
Can I give you the Jalen Polk numbers again from Chad Graff? These were good.
These are staggering.
Chad Graff at The Athletic. So Curran didn't quite go there in the interview. I should have asked him directly about it. Curran wrote in print that Polk and Baker are on the Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene track.
Insane.
If you don't remember who those two were, they were tight ends
that
Bill traded up for in the middle of the draft.
Two third-round tight ends that immediately were busts.
Neither one did a thing.
I don't even know. Did Keene even play? I mean, I have to look up the...
barely.
Yeah, maybe he did.
And I think he latched on with another team after here. But yeah, those guys were basically out of the league immediately.
Yep.
And never did anything here.
Mm-hmm.
Curran's comparing the two rookie receivers to those tight ends. I forget what year that was.
Asiasi has played in 22 career games.
Is that the 2020 draft?
Wait, 2020 draft, yep. That was the Duggar Uche Jennings draft. But then third round, you went Asiasi and Keene, who have played a combined 29 games in their NFL careers. Asiasi has four career catches. Keene has three career catches.
Did Asiasi get a touchdown here? I feel like
yes.
He did. He did, right?
He has one career touchdown.
Because I remember being like, wait a minute. That was like a trivia question. You're that guy scored? When did that happen?
Those guys made David Thomas and Garrett Mills look like Gronk and Hernandez.
I like David Thomas and Garrett Mills, though.
I didn't really like Garrett Mills, but I like David Thomas. I mean, in college, David Thomas was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Garrett Mills, I don't think I ever saw play.
Vince Young?
Like Tulsa or
something. Yeah, I never saw him.
But David Thomas was good.
Oh, David Thomas? Vince Young could fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, take down USC.
Asiasi and Keene, one of Wiggy's great takes, I remember. I think it was 2021. He said Asiasi, like, over 80 catches or something. Like, he had some, threw out some, prediction for Devin Asiasi. He's like, he's going to catch 80 balls. I'm like, 80?
I have a tweet out there. You can find it. I love the Dalton Keene pick.
Did you?
I'm like, H-back.
Oh, yeah, Hernandez.
Hand it to him.
He like a good guy, though, Hernandez.
Yeah, like a good guy, Hernandez.
Not off the field. I got to make it clear, Jones. That's what everybody says every time they compare him. I got to make it super clear. I'm not talking about anything off the field.
Because you're not pro-murder.
No.
Oh, okay, got it. Good.
That's a stance.
It's good to know.
I have.
It's a controversial take.
Yep.
But you never know.
They also took Justin Rohrwasser that same year.
Great draft.
Shouldn't have taken
him. Honestly, and we joked about this the other week. That was not Bill's worst draft. Not by a mile.
It was one of his best.
That was actually a good draft for Bill.
He had Onwenu and Duggars. That's one of the better drafts he's had.
Like, as many whiffs and terrible players who didn't even have careers were in that draft, that was actually one of Bill's better drafts.
Not bad.
Not even joking.
Nope.
Not even saying that tongue-in-cheek. These are the Jalen Polk numbers from Chad Graff.
Let's hear it.
It's still early, he says. Qualifier.
Yeah, I mean, it's halfway through the season.
But we're getting close to bust territory for Patriots wide receiver Jalen Polk. Keith, you were saying this weeks ago. He was the number 37 overall pick. Out of 128 qualifying wide receivers in the NFL.
Got it.
Patriots have seven just by themselves. There's 128.
Not like they all qualify. Where does he rank out of 128?
His Pro Football Focus ranking is 128 out of 128.
Wow.
He is 128th.
Oh, no.
In yards after catch per reception.
So he just goes down?
So no yak.
Zero yak.
Yeah, he
the
catches
opposite
it.
Of yak. Catches, he might even go the other way.
If he catches it, Keith, which is a real crapshoot.
No, he's not
going. He's not going anywhere with it.
Best hands in the league. Best hands in the league.
He is, and this is a good ranking for him, 127th out of 128 in yards per route run.
So he's better than somebody.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
Guy might want to update the LinkedIn.
I can tweet at Chad Graff. He has 10 catches on 26 targets. He was benched yesterday. This tweet was from last night.
He had two penalties
benched on
the
Sunday
game as well.
With two penalties, correct.
That was the only way you even knew he was playing, because he committed
penalties.
Oh,
yeah, he's active today.
Here's a philosophical...
Just getting plays called back.
Philosophical question for you,
sure.
Which we do a lot on this show.
Yeah.
How early can you call someone a bust? How long do they need? Like any sport. Let's talk football for right now.
Put one game on tape and you're allowed to start doing it.
You can say bust.
Yeah, I think so. Give me a preseason game. Preseason game, I can be like, I don't like that guy.
I feel like you can. Because what if you end up being right and like I saw it then? It's like, why did you say something? It's like, say something.
No, I said something.
Yeah.
See something, say something.
I also subscribe to it.
Yeah.
But don't be a rat. It's a fine line. See something, say something, but don't be a snitch.
You see Schefter this weekend? I tweeted about this.
What
on
did Schefter
Sunday
do this weekend?
This is just a snitching story.
Oh, he was watching meth streams. No, so what that is? That's not doing meth. So there's like these. What I've heard anyway. There's some illegal channels out there.
What
you can stream stuff that's not on the up and up.
No.
Yes, this is true. And so he tweeted out a photo of like a football play or like a highlight or whatever. And he was like, maybe like a controversial, I don't know, foot and bounds. I forget what it was.
A football play.
But in the top corner, it said meth streams. They're like, so this guy's like Adam Schefter. They pay like millions of dollars to. He was, because I think that game was on Prime. So he was like illegally watching the Amazon Prime game. But anyway, what did Schefter say?
Well, Adam Schefter will be on WEEI Afternoons tomorrow.
Or they can ask him about meth streams.
They can ask him about meth streams. They can also ask him about this tweet. What a snitch tweet this was.
Oh, no.
This past summer, this is leading up to Dolphins and Bills on Sunday.
Dolphins, Bills.
Dolphins tight end Jonnu Smith appeared on the Dive Bar podcast. You think Schefter like listens to that all the time?
The Dive Bar podcast?
Yeah, the Dive Bar podcast.
Who's the host that?
I don't know. Good question.
It's not a bad name.
It is a good name.
I like a dive bar. Usually cheap beers.
Yeah.
It should be cheap beers. If it's not, it's like not really a dive bar.
Maybe there's food you want. Maybe not, but I'll eat
it. No, there's not.
I'm not picky.
Yeah.
Like a bag of chips or something like that?
The popcorn?
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a popcorn machine in one of the Hobart bars.
So Schefter supposedly
eating it one year. People would still eat it.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
They were like, they probably cleaned it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. I'm like, I'd eat the popcorn. My buddy's like, you're eating that? He's like, you know, so-and-so peed in there.
Oddly,
I'm like, I don't care.
Oddly enough, someone peeing in there probably made it cleaner.
I think it's because it was sterile.
To actually go in and clean it.
No, this place wouldn't have done that. This place was a mess.
Okay. So Schefter goes on the Dive Bar podcast with the pee and the popcorn. And he says, Jonnu Smith called Buffalo the worst place you can be in the world. Smith went on to add, the Buffalo wings ain't even good.
Wow.
He says, I'm throwing all types of shots at Buffalo. And then Schefter goes, Smith gets to play in front of Buffalo fans today. And I'm like, are you trying to get him killed, Schefter? Yeah, but he said it over the summer. Now you're throwing this on Sunday morning. This is chum in the water.
That's true.
For Buffalo fans and their Zubas.
You said it, though. You say something on a podcast, you better be ready for the world to hear it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what the podcast is.
It's a good point.
You hashtag dork.
I just didn't expect
Dive Bar.
I didn't expect Schefter to be throwing it back in his face on Sunday morning with Bills fans among everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be out for blood.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go after it. So somebody says, based on our guidelines, Peyton Manning would have been a bust. You need two full seasons. So I disagree.
We didn't say we were right. It's just, when can you start throwing that around?
No, but I also think there's a difference between just looking at bad stats, and if you wanted to say he was a bust then, you ultimately would have been wrong.
Yeah, right.
But maybe you didn't. So, like, I'm trying to think of an example.
I mean,
like,
hell, Merrill Hodge was calling Drake May a bust before he even set foot on an NFL field.
But, like, Caleb Williams, for example. Uh-huh. If Caleb Williams, or no, Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence might be a bust, but after his first year, Some started to say that. Mm-hmm. I said, no, he's got Urban Meyer. Don't do it. So he was horrible that year, but I wasn't ready to say bust based on everything around him. Jalen Polk, I think, is a little bit different. Plus, the quarterback, comparing it to a wide receiver, obviously different as well. But the wide receiver, if he's dropping passes, talking crap, and committing penalties, and is like zero accountability, and was never really all that explosive to begin with, I think you could start to say bust.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's totally fair. It doesn't mean you're going to be right, but you can start doing it then. Yeah. One preseason game. That's my cutoff. Officially, it's a starter's pistol. You can start calling players busts at that point. Or future Hall of Famers, inversely. Mm-hmm. I can watch a guy for one preseason game. I'm like, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I think then you're allowed to do it. It's a huge day out there, Keefe. Many are saying the biggest day in our country's history.
Could be. Yep.
NFL trade deadline day.
Huge. 4 o'clock today.
We have not had any trades yet. But
It's been too quiet?
Too quiet.
Would you say it's been too quiet?
I would say Elliot Wolf may or may not be awake at this point in time.
Somebody get up, Wolf. Trade deadline, less than 4 hours away.
Hey, Elliot.
You got to get going, Elliot.
It's like the one day a year you work. You wake up.
Call another GM.
Back is back, goes on master. Oh, there's a lot more to this.
Oh, there's vocals, baby. Just a competition, win the war,
that's the mission. Not no mercy. See the race. Yeah, if that doesn't wake him up, nothing will.
If that doesn't get you going, that's his ringtone.
I adamantly want him to do something. I'm fine with buying. You can sell. You can do both.
I want to get rid of two of these receivers.
Me too. Yeah. Most annoying thing is that he does nothing. Okay, yeah. And you can vote in the show poll at Jones and Keith.
All right.
But I just do want to remind the people, Keith.
Yeah.
Because we there's a lot of production value that we put into this show.
That's true.
And in case there is a trade, what are the people of Boston going to hear when a trade anywhere in the NFL
Any
goes
NFL
down today?
Trade.
What are they going to hear?
Yes! That was so good! Oh, no!
And then we go to the NFL trade desk with Billy Lanny, and he will give us all the details on the latest trade in the NFL. Sadly, three trades were made all prior to 10 a.m.
Such a shame.
We couldn't use it for Jonathan Mingo being dealt to the Cowboys.
No, Khalil Herbert.
Nope.
Zadarius Smith?
Yeah, yeah. Going to Detroit.
Yep.
Couldn't use it for any of those guys.
No, couldn't use that. But Billy's working the tweet deck.
How many
you had seven phones going earlier today. What are you up to there, Bill? Bill's working the lines.
Added a phone. We're up to eight.
Eight phones.
It's getting closer to 4 o'clock. I got to get more
phones.
Yeah,
because it's too quiet. I need an extra phone.
Just check up. Is this one working?
Yeah.
Is this one working?
Do I need to charge this thing? What's going on?
The time will be 12:42.
So we'll continue to monitor that. Any trades go down, you're going to find out about it here on Jones and Keefe. But in all seriousness, a huge day out there for everybody listening. It's the return of Kiefer Madness, and it's next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
I would do what I'm supposed to do on the purge, kill people.
A man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
We don't need to see the snake.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And it's actually kind of hilarious because like a month ago, you were saying like we haven't had any creature features yet. We haven't had anything to do with creatures.
Yeah.
Now they've all been creatures. This is another creature one from over the weekend.
Is it Peanut?
No, I heard Courtney talking about Peanut.
Okay.
So Peanut the squirrel was euthanized over the weekend because he bit someone.
Uh-huh.
He's like a celebrity squirrel.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a squirrel influencer, yeah.
Speaking of that, Davey's doing a great job from Hashtag Dork Podcast raising money for Movember. He does that every November, and we're using the hashtag Dirt Squirrel to promote good mustaches.
Oh, nice.
The Dirt Squirrel.
The Dirt Squirrel.
Yes, if anybody wants to grow a Dirt Squirrel this month, feel free to do so.
That's the way to
do it. Yeah, Peanut's dead and buried now, I believe. Or they cremate Peanut?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that goes down. It wouldn't be much left if you cremate a squirrel, I don't think.
No, not much.
No.
No, you put that in your pocket.
And the raccoon.
Your front pocket.
They took the raccoon in the house as well. Both have been euthanized, yeah.
Sadly. Now, this
but
creature.
You're saying it's not this.
No, this creature's alive and well, and maybe it could be the new face of creatures. Because if those two are dead, they're looking for a new creature. Let's go to the great state of Oregon. Head up the old Oregon Trail to find out what's going on here.
With the holiday, trick-or-treating, a parade, also a winner being announced in the Bureau of Land Management's National Bat Beauty Contest.
The Bat Beauty Contest. So we're looking for...
We're objectifying bats.
Okay. Yeah, we've moved on from the traditional beauty pageant
because
that is misogynistic, I believe.
Yeah.
Problematic, etc.
So let's objectify some...
bats.
Some... flying
rodents. Let's pull bats out of the caves and start taking pictures of them awarding pretty bats.
I like Fat Bear Week.
Fat Bear Week you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big bears.
They grade all the fat bears. In fact, I think in Fat Bear Week this year, it was a child avenging another bear that ate its mom or something like that.
Really?
It was like something crazy like that. Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty convoluted. But all right, here we go.
Okay.
That's right. And Newswatch 12 has told you that an Oregon bat has won each of the last 2 years.
Back to back, Oregon bat.
Back to back beauty bat.
Back to back beauty bat.
Nice.
So that's
I'm Batman.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
And two Oregon bats were entered into this year's contest. The crown is coming back to Oregon for a third year in a row.
This is the news. This is on their news.
Yeah.
They're doing like a segment.
Yeah, let them talk. Let
on
them
the
talk.
Beauty bat.
Yeah,
I'm just
news
letting people
of the
know,
day in Oregon.
This isn't like some kid's like Instagram page.
This is
like a straight
the
up
news in Oregon. Yeah.
Back to back, it's coming back.
Yeah,
it's coming back to Oregon.
Back to back, three-peat.
Yep. Beauty, the beauty bat.
Yeah.
This is Horry Potter, a hoary bat.
I'm sorry.
Horry Potter. It's a hoary bat. It's spelled with an H.
Thank
Jones.
You. I needed.
Hoary.
A hoary bat. I wonder how they won back to back.
Hoary bat.
I think I understand now how they've won back to back.
Sleeping with the judges. No, it's a bat in the Vesper bat family.
Yeah, it
lives in most of North America.
I don't think you have to explain it to most of the audience. We know what a hoary bat is.
I mean, they'll fly about 9 to 13 miles per hour on a good day.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
And they shouldn't be flying during the day.
No.
They should be having a nice little snooze.
Definitely rabid.
During the day. Yeah. Possibly in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. That's been disputed whether they're there or not.
Good echolocation.
They are in Oregon, though.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And they're very attractive, at least for bats, if that's what you're into.
That's only found in Oregon. A little more than an hour ago, NewsWatch 12 spoke with the winning photographer about how she makes pictures like this happen.
Deploy these mist nets for bats, and essentially bats fly into the nets. We quickly take them out of the nets, and then we process them, and we'll record reproductive status.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
What does that entail? So they scoop these bats up in a net, take their picture, then like throw them back in?
Yeah.
I don't think I like this. I think PETA might crack down on this.
No.
Yeah, they're like interrupting the bats' normal day just so they can take a picture and send it into the contest?
Keith,
check out their reproductive organs? Like, that's assault.
We can't do guess that ass anymore, Keith. We gotta objectify something.
Guess that bat. You're not going to get as many clicks. If we just start doing bat of the day on the show, no clicks.
Well.
You think? Is there like a bat community out there?
No, I bet there is.
No, we're better off doing anything else.
Only bats.
You going to only bats?
Yeah.
Sex, species, all of this morphological information. And then and if at the end, I usually have my camera out and I will try to take a photo of the bats that fly into our net.
We couldn't have gotten a better connection for her. She's on the news, for God's sakes. Not great.
Yeah, well.
Text line wants to know, hoary bats.
Oregon news.
Isn't that how COVID started? They might have been the beginning of COVID.
It's a good point. It's ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's who to blame.
You might be right.
That or the pangolin.
Well,
yeah.
With Horry Potter's win, Oregon becomes the first state to win the competition 3 years in a row.
Hell yeah.
The BLM Bat Beauty Contest was started in 2019 to raise awareness about the ecological importance of bats.
And I think it's worked. People are still talking about it.
COVID was a setback for that.
Yeah.
I would think, yeah.
How many animals do you think deserve their own beauty contest?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
You think that's a little too much?
No.
Cows, pigs.
Yeah.
Horse, the good-looking horse.
All animals.
Ermine. Ermine should. Ermine's a cute little guy.
Sexy Ermine.
Yeah, a hot Ermine. Put little hats on them. A little coat.
Put something risque.
Yeah, a little dress on them.
Yeah, don't show it all.
What's
like,
your,
like a little something.
You like putting
a lot of Ermine leg.
Leave some to the imagination.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, a tail.
You can do like a little groundhog, little skunk, little
sure.
Pepe the Pew. You get those guys out there. I mean, if you're doing bat beauty contests, I feel like you're just scratching the surface.
I just think, you know, what's the harm?
Why, you have to
what's
use night vision.
What's the Yeah, what's
Well, they are blood suckers. Yeah. They're gonna go right for you. Yeah.
But I'm saying if you're looking at
$10 shake, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the bats.
They're eating the bats.
The hoary bats.
Yeah, well, I think we should do this for all animals. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Tickle everyone's
alligators.
Fancy out there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's definitely plenty to choose from. So I don't know. There you go. There's the madness here on a very important day.
Pythons, rattlesnakes, cobras, black mambas.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah,
if you want. I couldn't be there for that.
A hot contest for every single one. Yeah, you would be personally
be
out on that. Yeah.
You give them like a little pipe and a hat, and you're like, a little snake. It's like Fred Willard in Best in Show. He's like, what if you gave him like a little, like a Sherlock Holmes hat? You put him a little pipe.
Could you look at snakes if they were dressed up like that?
I don't think so. I mean, if you put legs on them, maybe. But if they were still legless, I'd be out.
Like a Mr. Potato Head. You plug some legs in on that thing, you maybe look at it.
It's a lizard. I'm not scared of lizards.
The
snake. Terrified. The legless lizard. There are legless lizards, which I learned on one of these shows my daughter was watching. One of these like creature shows.
Very educational.
And they're like, here's this one. This is a legless lizard.
Which creature show
is
she watching?
What the hell is that?
Which creature show is she watching? Creature Cases on Netflix.
Loves Creature Cases.
Oh, does she? Oh, Wild Kratts.
Good. Those guys do a good show.
Octonauts.
She watches Octonauts.
There you go. So one of
them. Creature Cases is kind of fun.
Creature Cases is good.
Did you see like the Anaconda episode? I'm like, what are you watching?
I've seen the Anaconda episode. Yeah, of course I've seen the Anaconda.
They're Kit Casey and Sam Snow.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
I like the little two. We're little
mouse.
Mice.
Little,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Where are they?
I don't know. They got a little DJ that makes songs.
They do good work. Yeah.
They're always in a good mood, those guys.
Yeah, for being stuck doing all the busy work.
They're like always working hard.
Yeah.
But there's like, there's that snake episode. I'm like, let's skip this one. But I do like, so I'm with the Twitch chat. They say, legless lizard is a snake. Apparently not true. Apparently there's just straight up like legless lizards in like I don't know what's the difference, but
controversy.
They look the same. They're both terrifying.
Since I brought it up, the Fat Bear Week winner, Keith.
It snakes out there this big.
The Fat Bear Week winner, the mama bear, whose cub was killed by her opponent, ended up winning. Grazer beat Chunk. Chunk ate Grazer's baby.
Why? Is it a polar bear? I know that happens with polar bears. They're not a fruit up there.
I believe these are grizzly.
Oh boy.
It's in Alaska.
Yeah.
I don't think you're getting polar bear there. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's Mother Nature, Keith. It's a circle of life.
I don't know.
Lion King tried to teach us.
It scares me.
So yeah, that's a very controversial
way. Image of Yogi Bear representing Yellowstone. We're talking about a sleeping Godzilla.
As Yogi Berra said,
perfect.
Some you win, some you lose, some get rained out.
Yeah.
That's it. One of the all-time great bears.
Hoary Bat.
Hoary Bat?
Never getting rained out. Never
losing. No. These guys are tough.
Hoary Bat.
Yep.
Undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Three in a row for the state of Oregon. I mean, that's something to be proud of.
They normally...
raise a banner.
Yeah. They usually roost alone on trees hidden in the foliage, but on occasion has been seen in caves with other bats.
Oh. What'd you call that word in there? Say it, read that again.
Foliage.
Foliage?
It hunts alone. Its main source is moths. Yeah, this guy eats a lot of moths.
Okay.
Good nutritional value maybe in a moth.
Maybe, you got to think about eating more moths if they're so good looking. So that's Keeper Madness. Every team.
What do we have, Billy? Let's go to the NFL trade desk with our very own Billy Lanny. Yeah. Billy.
All right, Tom Pelissero. Trade! !
Nice. Ass. He gets it.
The Saints are sending four-time Pro Bowl quarterback Marshon Lattimore to the Commanders, sources tell me, and at Rap Sheet.
Oh, that's big for the Commanders, who, if you missed it, were in our D'Angelo subs tier for Tier Tuesday. So the Commanders...
That's before they got Marshon Lattimore.
That's right. Now they got Marshon Lattimore.
Hmm.
He's a good player, or was a really good player.
Real nice trade.
Is he still good? I guess I don't really know for sure.
He's good every time he plays Mike Evans. As a Mike Evans owner in fantasy, he shuts down Mike Evans every time they play him. I know that.
That is really good. I love it.
Okay, how about that? First trade of the day.
Hell yeah.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
Lattimore to the Commanders. The Chiefs have been linked to him. That would be unfair if the Chiefs got him.
Yeah, that's overkill.
Yeah, it really is.
You can't go more undefeated. They're already a wagon.
It's a good point.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.